and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter, and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, we have a special guest, Phil Seelig. I said it perfectly earlier, but why should people know who you are? I know that you cover a pretty interesting baseball league.
Yeah, absolutely. So I pride myself as Canada's top expert on Cuban baseball. And if anybody wants to follow along on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, it's at Cuba Baseball, the Spanish pronunciation, Phil, Cuba Baseball, Phil. And basically for the past decade have been traveling to Cuba and chronicling some of the top players in the Cuban National Series. And also when I have the opportunity to follow them along when they've either toured Canada or the number of players that are now playing in the minor leagues and in the major leagues.
Wow. So it sounds like you've gotten some firsthand look at some of these players. So we'll definitely enjoy this podcast, and we'll talk about some of the recent signees by the Houston Astros and maybe some past signings and everything. Don't forget, guys, you can get Locked On Astros on podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Astros. So, Brett, I know Austin just had a Belching Beaver. They had a brewery open up, and they sold out in the first day. What's going on over there?
Well, they've officially landed in the Lone Star State, Belching Beaver. So get ready for some damn good times in Texas. If you have not been able to find their beer in your local shelves, then you need to go to ambient.bev. That's ambient.bev on Twitter, and they can hook you up and give you all the details. Here's the thing. Belching Beaver is a craft brew. It was started in 2012, and they have paired up with people like the Deftones. I mean, if you're breathing and you're an American, you know who the Deftones are, and they're super stoked to announce their partnership is 5 years strong, and they have a new one coming out called Ohm's Pale Ale. The first thing you'll notice is its bright citrusy aromas coming off of its generously dry hot pale ale. There's plenty of lemon peel, grapefruit, and also pineapple aromas with the blend of some light pine to give you a more nuanced and complex palatable flavor. So check out belchingbeaver.com. It is our off-season acquisition. It is our Michael Brantley. You need to go there. They're in Texas. Go find them. Go drink away and have a damn good time.
Well, Dane, you say that they have to hit 300 with 15 home runs or 20 home runs and drive in 100 RBIs. That's a big order to fill there. So speaking of filling an order, let's go and talk to Phil a little bit about how the heck did you get interested flying all the way down to Cuba to watch players play baseball down there?
Well, actually, first I'll tie it back to the sponsor that actually Alejandro Ohms is a famous Cuban player from the 1920s. He was one of the most famous players back during the original professional league of Cuba. But to your question, started off on a little bit of a lark. Basically, a friend of mine that I played baseball with had been going for years, suggested I come and see it. And the first time that I did, had the opportunity to go to one of the Cuban National Series games, which was both underwhelming in some regards and overwhelming in others. But fundamentally in that game, I saw a player that, you know, a bunch of people on the beach told me that I have to keep my eyes peeled for, which was Jose Abreu. And so that trip, about a year later, obviously he's playing in the major leagues. He's having a big impact to this day, having a big impact. And fundamentally, every trip that I had the opportunity to go and see games, I kind of saw a number of players, was able to identify the best, and then basically would see them in the States not too long after.
So is this like something that you do where you consult the information you gather, you give to other ball clubs? Have you connected yourself with any major league clubs, or is this purely an independent thing and you do it for the love of the game?
Purely an independent thing to this point. Probably the highlight for me is I did produce a short film, which was showcased and now resides in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown in 2017. And so I should qualify. I am a professional photographer and videographer sort of by trade. And so it's been more of a blogging passion that's opened up many doors where I can now count the number of the players as friends and acquaintances. And so really the cool connector is and where my connection to the community is that as the internet has opened up in Cuba, that more and more players kind of reached out. And for some of them, my photos were the first professional photos that they had access to. And wow. So over time it's kind of really, really opened that up. And so it's more on that blogging sphere and space, but also connect with a number of the actual journalists, both in Cuba and in Miami. As you can imagine, there's a little bit of a divide there, but unified in the love for Cuban baseball. And so it's just been opening doors. And as time goes on, hoping longer term that it opens up more opportunities to if it's scouting to that effect or basically helping to tell stories. But really a labor of love to this point, but always growing and always love to talk about it.
Before we start talking about some of the up and coming kids, what do you think about Yuli Gurriel's career as an Astro? Has he lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, Yuli Gurriel is one of the players that I had the opportunity to see in Cuba before he left. Actually, it was probably about a month before he left, got to see him hit a walk-off home run. And at that point, he had basically accomplished everything that he could do. I was a little bit surprised to see that he and his younger brother did leave at the time that they did, which was an indication basically that the rumors of an agreement between Major League Baseball and Cuba obviously wasn't imminent. You know, kind of looked at it in 2016, there was a lot of talk that and I know in 2018 that a deal did kind of was on the table but ultimately fell off. But in 2016, there was talk that it might be coming faster. Clearly, it wasn't. So at that point, obviously, Yuli was a little bit of a more mature player, but kind of projected that I figured he'd probably be a 290, 20 home run, 80, 85 RBI guy. So, you know, he's exceeded that in a couple seasons and, you know, obviously has resulted in a ring. So he's doing some good things there for you guys in Houston.
You know, Yuli Gurriel, we always talk all the time, had he come to the U.S. sooner, like how amazing this career would be. I know the Astros at one time fielded 5, I believe, Cuban players on one team, which I think was the first time in Major League history. So that was a groundbreaking moment. And of those 5, I think the most famous right now, no disrespect to Yuli Gurriel or Cionel Pérez, who they just traded, or I believe Elenis Diaz is Cuban, yep. But Yordan Alvarez, he is probably the most famous guy on this club outside of Pedro Leon, who we'll talk about later. Tell us a little bit about Alvarez before he came to the States, because when he came on the scene, he was a barnstormer and he just burned the place down. I mean, was he turning heads like that in Cuba?
So actually, it's funny that you do mention Elidmus Diaz. He played in the first game that I saw as well. And so he's definitely Cuban as well. So Alvarez, if you go back and you see, he did have a short stint in the Cuban National Series. And a lot of times what you'll see with the younger players is they will debut very young. And some guys 16, 17. Where the league has been over the past few years, though, is that the coverage, it's a little bit harder to see some of those teams. So he did play for a Las Tunas team that would go on to win the championship a couple of years later. But at that point in time when he was playing in the league, it was kind of hard to get real coverage on them. So, and as well, what you'll see is, and perhaps out of legitimate fear, that a lot of the television coverage isn't going to focus on a young player for the sake of pumping up his stock. But if you look at the impact that he had, I think he put up some pretty solid numbers for a kid that was his age. You could also see, though, that based on his stature, you know, it's closer to an Abreu. That's not common, although it is funny. we are seeing more of that that better athlete coming out of Cuba now, and especially if they get out earlier, can harness those tools. With that in mind, though, I think it goes, you know, I think most people do realize that an Alvarez at the age that he gets out versus a Yuli Gurriel versus an Abreu obviously isn't as polished a product theoretically. As funny as that'll sound for a guy who came and blew up as a rookie right away. But I often say that Cuba is producing better athletes, not necessarily better baseball players. But with that in mind, the guys that do come over and make the adjustment, and and a lot of it is more to lifestyle than necessarily anything else. But if they make the adjustment to the games overall, I think the sky's the limit. There's more Cuban baseball talent than there's ever been. It's just most of it isn't on the island right now.
I know Jordan is pretty built, but if you want to kind of keep yourself in the game, help yourself kind of keep slim, and what type of bar could you get?
I'm glad you asked. You can get a Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's actually not really a protein bar. It's a candy bar, but it's a protein bar. But it's a candy bar, so I digress. Anyways, it is 100% chocolate. It is great for the healthy, conscious guy or girl. It is low in calories, low in sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. Let me tell you about peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. It's great. I love it. I send them a Built Bar pre-workout. Sometimes when I'm feeling down in the middle of a workout, I'll grab one of these little Built Bar bites that they have. I mean, me and Miss Wheelhouse, we have a ton of Built Bars. Our fridge, the left panel of our fridge is nothing but Built Bars. So go check out builtbar.com and you'll get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. So Phil, if you're into protein bars, you got to go to builtbar.com and use a promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your first order. And with that promo code Locked On at 20% off, when you get your first box, you'll get another coupon for 20% off. So the savings keep coming and you can get Built Bucks and all this stuff. And they've got other things there. There are things we don't even really hit on in this commercial. They've got immune boosters. They've got gels. They even have Built Broth. I mean, the sky's the limit with Built Bar. Go check it out. You won't go wrong.
All righty. This weekend, H-Town Wheelhouse helped me bring a bed from Sugarland. And as we were driving with that bed down the street, we thought we heard some rattling. I'm like, uh-oh, Brett, are you going to need to go to rockauto.com? Do you have something rattling? Well, if you don't know where to go and you don't want to go to the store, some of y'all are still afraid to get out of the house, and that's fine. Whatever you think is right. If you have computer access, you can go to rockauto.com at home, in your pocket, in your pajamas, whatever you want to do. So if you, most people maintain their cars on their own just to save some money. But also if you go to a mechanic, they may upcharge you and they've got to pay these environmental fees, yada, yada. But if you go do the work yourself, then you don't have to. You don't have to pay the 30, the 50, the 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership or anywhere like that. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail light lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need with a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as well as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So let's go and talk a little bit, Phil, about what to look forward to with Pedro Leon. This was not necessarily breaking news because I think we knew that he was going to be signing with the Astros for about a year now. It seems like it's been a year. But what does this kid have to offer?
Yeah, so Leon, you're correct. It's been kind of in the works for the past year, and that probably works out well for him to receive that $4 million signing bonus, because we saw how COVID kind of threw a monkey wrench into everything and drove down the prices for a lot of players. What I would invite people to do is I've carved up a lot of the available footage, and that's available through my YouTube channel. But in doing that, I've started looking into him a little bit further. The only caveat with that is that the footage is close to 2 years old. now. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of the players, a lot of the guys that have made the jump, unfortunately, because of, you know, the state of the world where it is. We're kind of left in limbo over the past year or so. I also give the caveat that the Cuban National Series, if we're looking at statistics, the pitching has really eroded over the past few years. So some of the offensive numbers have been supercharged. However, as I said with an Alvarez before, as a kid that made an early debut and put up some solid numbers, we can see that with León, that basically in his first full year, hit 15 home runs in just under 200 at bats. So that power appears real. Been thinking about and kicking it around over the last little bit, and I see some similarities kind of in stature and swing. I don't want to go this far in terms of the power projection, but I'm seeing a bit of a right-handed Curtis Granderson in what he does there. So again, it's a small sample size as it is with many of these players, but looking at a kid that was a little bit hidden, because as I mentioned as well with Alvarez, if you're not playing for Havana or Santiago, a lot of times you can get lost in the shuffle. And also just a little bit of an update on how the Cuban National Series typically works. Normally it's a 90-game season. There's 16 teams at the 45-game mark, 8 teams cease playing, and then there's a dispersal draft. So that's why you'll see, if you look into the numbers for some of the players, why it looks like they only played 30 games or to that effect. And a lot of times that's because the window has gotten shorter for the players to get to reps. But I see a lot of potential in that and in the few at-bats I've seen there. I can definitely see why the Astros, with the pipeline that they've built over the past few years, are looking to tap into that again.
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, León. We've talked about Gurriel. We've talked about the Houston Astros success over in Cuba. And I know Lunau, when he was here, was real big recruiting. I know when we got Alvarez, I remember he talked about how when he asked the Dodgers, they were like, hey, we want that Alvarez kid. They had a pitcher in the minors. And they were like, the pitcher? He's like, no, we want the big, tall Alvarez, the one that our Cuban scouts told us to get originally. And we said no. And they were like, well, he hasn't even played for us. He's like, that's okay, we'll take him anyways. We'll send you Josh Fields. And how that turned out to be our Larry Anderson, Jeff Bagwell moment for this generation. But where do the Astros, because I was interested to know this, where do the Astros rank as far as Cuban talent? Because they just signed Noel Gonzalez. He signed a contract. They said he's going to be big at the AA level. He's got a big bat with great contact. His slash line over 5 seasons in that Cuban league is .315, .395, .457. He left Cuba in July 2019. So where do the Astros rank in the major leagues in recruiting Cuban players?
Yeah, so number of things to touch on there. Firstly, Noel Gonzalez is one of the players that I have seen both in Canada and in Cuba. I was a little bit surprised when he left. I've mentioned before, I project him as more of a Doug Mankiewicz type of player. First baseman, solid glove, no batting gloves, very, very contact oriented, and is a little bit more of a mature player. To me, that's a move might make sense depending on the dollars. I want to see every Cuban player succeed. I wouldn't get too far ahead of myself on that one, and I wouldn't necessarily put him in the same category as some of the other successes just yet. But, you know, if he shows what he can do in the minors and make some things happen. So in terms of where the Astros might rank, it's funny that you mentioned the Dodgers. So in the past, basically in the past decade, and it kind of corresponds with the time that I have been going to Cuba, obviously there have been a lot of successes, but there have been some big misses, some big investments dollar-wise that haven't necessarily turned into to results on the field. And the Dodgers probably bear the brunt of that. They've had 4 or 5 big signings that didn't necessarily play out. Now, for me, it's kind of fun because I watch a lot of those players. Many of the guys have either gone back to Cuba or they're playing in Japan. And they've had success in other leagues, but ultimately they might be quadruple A players. But for the Astros, there's a little bit of a running joke that anytime a player becomes available, if you guess that they're going to the White Sox, you have a 75% chance of being right. But if you actually look at the success that the Astros have, they're pretty much neck and neck. So I would say it's probably the White Sox and the Astros are really on the leading edge of that. And, you know, it seems that they trust their scouts but as you mentioned as well, in a few circumstances, basically kind of identifying the guy once he's in someone else's system and taking that shot. But then I've also read and heard, you know, the culture that they've built. Cuban's very much about family, very proud of their culture. And so I wouldn't be surprised to find out as well that there is a little bit of, you don't want to overstate it because, I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are professionals. They can either go out and play or not, but there's a lot of other distractions, a lot of other things. So I think that getting to an organization where they know they can be supported, they have their fellow countrymen and that they consider brothers, they're helping to support them along as well, I think is a big thing and probably goes to where the Astros are having success.
I know a lot of people don't want to see Miles Straw in center field, and people are saying, oh, Pedro Leon, can we just throw him in center field to start the season? For my knowledge, he did not play in 2020. So it's going to take some time to get him back on his feet, get his bat speed up. What are your thoughts about him playing maybe later this year?
I think that's unless something big happens in the minor leagues, I don't think that that's going to be necessarily the projection. He's still young, and as you say, has missed out on some serious development time, both twofold because the team that he was playing for the last time that he would have played before he defected might be, late 2018, early 2019. So there's some development time that's missed there. So, you know, I would think that they'd probably want to bring him along slowly, but, you know, perhaps a late September call up with a chance to see what he can do. But I'd be a little bit surprised to see if he's having an impact at the major league level this year.
So what's it been like seeing these kids, getting to know them? I believe you said you were one of the first people to see Abreu. But what's it like seeing them get to live out their dream, the opportunities that it affords their family that they wouldn't normally have being a major league prospect?
Yeah, so there's no doubt Cuba's a complex place, and the relationship with the island is very interesting. And so I want to see every player maximize their dream. But at the same time, I want to see Cuban baseball thrive. And so it's a tough balance on that, because to put it into perspective, and as I sort of alluded to, the past decade has been, the dam has opened up. A number of things have changed. Cuba has lost the advantage that it had, that basically on the international stage before the World Baseball Classic, they were basically sending professionals to play against amateurs. So as that changed and the results started to erode, and access to the players became easier and guys saw that there was potential payday, more players started leaving. I mean, some statistics peg that just as 2016, 150 players left that year alone. I mean, so how many of them do we hear about? How many guys just kind of disappear? I want to see everybody be as successful as they can in this life and in this baseball life. But one of the things that I actually do find really intriguing and like to see is for the players that maybe aren't on that trajectory, there's more guys that are having the opportunity to go play in Japan and have good money and bring that home and change their lives there without having to risk everything. I mean, obviously the perfect scenario is someday where it's legal, you know, the relationship is better. And basically the 2018 agreement that had been sketched out, it looks increasingly like the Cuban government is actually pushing for more of it. We'll see what happens there. But same thing, it's I stay apolitical as much as I can on the whole thing and kind of just try and enjoy baseball. And that's the beauty of it too, that even within segments of the Cuban baseball population, everybody can come together on the love of baseball. So, but all to say, it's exciting to see the players when they come through. I want to see more guys succeed, but at the same time, I want to see baseball on the island thrive, but guys get opportunities to play at the top level that they can and hopefully make a living and make their lives better.
All right, Phil. So I know you mentioned you had a YouTube channel. Where else can our listeners find your work or maybe your pictures or some or stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So as mentioned on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is all, if you look up at Cuba Baseball, B-E-I-S-B-O-L, Phil, at Cuba Baseball, Phil. And if you search quickly for YouTube, unfortunately, I don't have enough followers just yet, but maybe people can help me with that to get the personalized address for that. But I've got hours of videos up on there with some footage of some of the players that we mentioned there, some of my personal stories, some of my photos, and always expanding on that.
And I just liked your Facebook page. So I just found you.
Awesome.
You know, I'll definitely connect some of your stuff to my page, Stros 411.
Perfect.
We've got a pretty large following there, about 31,000 followers, and it'll be good, but you know, it'll be good to keep you on tap. And just whenever we have some questions, definitely seem like a very knowledgeable guy. We do appreciate.
Awesome. Thank you.
And joining the show.
Always looking to go back to the island, like I said, and hopefully grabbing more photo, more video, learning more players that are coming through and being able to share their stories and what info we can glean on them. So.
Alrighty. It's been awesome hearing your story and your passion for not just baseball, but baseball in Cuba. And so it's awesome to hear all this, and your knowledge on the players is going to be something that we're going to be looking at, especially when Leon gets closer to making his major league debut. We'll get you back on and see what's going on there. But guys, if you want to get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast, Peter Bukowski hosts the Locked On Today daily podcast, breaking down the biggest stories with analysts from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you do podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Astros podcast. And we are on YouTube, and kind of like Phil, we don't have a lot of followers yet, but you can still find us on YouTube. So we'll talk to you later, and go Astros.